I'd like to just share a brief message with you tonight that God's laid on my heart. I think it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you. And you know, there's one word that comes to my mind to characterize what's going on in our country in the last year and a half, really the world. And if I would ask you what that word is, you could probably in time give me what that word is that could characterize our country. And I think you'll agree with me. And that word is fear. Fear. Okay? I've seen people more afraid in the last year about many things than I've ever seen before. And what's amazing to me is even Christians, a lot of Christians have been so afraid of what's happening because of this COVID-19 and because of other things in our country. Joyce and I were up in South Carolina last week, and we were out in a very rural area. And there was a man walking down the road. There wasn't a house or a person or anything probably within a mile of him. And he had his mask on, okay? I said, what in the world is he doing wearing a mask? And I can tell you what. Fear. Afraid he might catch the virus. And so what I want us to share with you tonight is a very familiar Bible verse probably to you. But it's a verse that has very comforting words to believers concerning this matter of fear. And the verse is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, I'll read it for you. It says this: Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so these are comforting words, because five times God uses the personal pronoun, I. You know, it'd be one thing if God just said, don't be afraid, and that was it, right? What good would that do us? But God says, don't be afraid, but then he gives five reasons why we shouldn't be afraid. He says this: I am with thee, first one. Second one, I am thy God. Third one, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. And so he gives us these reasons why we shouldn't fear. And the reason God uses this word, pronoun I, so many times is because during these times of stress and difficulty, very often we feel very helpless. And he will say, he speaks saying that he will go with us through these times and strengthen us. You know, there's one of the most comforting verses in the scripture, I think, especially now when we live in this age when so many people are afraid and people live in fear 24 hours a day. You know, what are some of the fears that people have today? Well, there's a lot of common fears that people have always had. Some people fear death. They fear death every day. Alfred Krupp was a Prussian manufacturer, and he had such a fear of death that it said of him that if anybody ever brought up the subject of death in his presence, he never forgave them. And then what happens is if any one of his employees ever brought up the subject of death, he would fire them immediately and never want to see them again. And a relative of his wife was visiting with them and died suddenly in his house. And he ran out of the house, terrified, horrified. And when his wife rebuked him about it, He said that he forsook her and never lived with her again. He offered a doctor an equal amount of $1 million if he could extend his life for 10 years. Guess what? He still died. Okay, he couldn't do it. And so there are many, though, who live every day in fear of death. They fear some kind of sickness. My grandmother, every time she got sick, she would swear up and down she was going to die. You know, it's terrible to live in that kind of fear. Every time you get a bad cold, I'm going to die. But that was just the way she was. And then, by the way, she lived to be 85 years old. You know, but some people live with a fear of growing old. You know, you can be the most attractive person in the world, but take a picture and then take another picture 10 years from now. Guess what? You're going to look a lot older, right? I went to our high school class had a 50-year reunion I don't think I was that old, but anyway, 50 years. And I wasn't able to go. So they sent me pictures of all the people that attended the family, the class reunion. And I looked at those pictures and I said, these aren't the kids I went to school with. This is a bunch of old people. And it's true, you get old. And so I look at the old church directories. And I look at my picture. I said, man, did I look that young back then? But, you know, many are aware of this. They're getting older. And that's what drives the beauty market today. That's what drives the people that sell anti-wrinkle cream, you know, and all these products that are supposed to keep you from looking older. And so plastic surgeons, they make a mint, trying to make people look younger than they really are. And so many are fearful every day as they look in the mirror and discover that their bodies are aging. Of course, that's why I don't look in the mirror anymore, right? But, you know, men and women alike have this fear. One man said, you know, it's terrible growing old alone. And the guy says, what do you mean, growing old alone? You have a wife about your same age, don't you? He said, yeah, but she hasn't had a birthday in 30 years. But, you know, we all find ourselves in fearful situations. You know, some people fear criticism, or they fear power, or they fear rejection. But we pray. And Psalm 56:3, though, says this. Very familiar verse to you. What time I am afraid, what? I will trust in thee. Okay? David wrote this. You mean David was fearful at times? I thought he was unfearful. He was ready to kill. He killed the giant, right? He wasn't afraid of the giant. But David had fearful times as well. And he talks about that in Psalm 53. But then this passage here in Isaiah 41:10, God is speaking to the children of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. And you remember where they are. They're in bondage. Okay? And he tells them, fear thou not. God just didn't say, fear thou not, but he went on to tell them why they should not be fearful. And I believe there are four reasons he gives us tonight why they shouldn't have been fearful. And the first one is they have to acknowledge something. Look at these words. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And if we're going to live a free life from fear, we have to acknowledge what God has promised. What? I'm with thee. Can you imagine that? I'm with thee. And when we're aware of this truth that God is with us, folks, God, we can face the future. You know, you remember when you were a small child, you would get afraid, and you could run to your mother or your dad, what? You wouldn't be afraid, right? I remember running to my dad and grabbing hold of his pants leg, you know, holding on to his leg. I wouldn't be afraid, because I knew my dad was there, right? And it's the same principle. And so when we become aware of God's presence, it gives us courage to face hard times. What if Jesus Christ was physically with you, beside you, what would you be afraid of? You wouldn't be afraid of anything, would you? But isn't he with you? He certainly is. He should be. And so when we're aware of God's presence, we can face life's difficulties without fear. And they'll say, sometimes, if you're like me, I don't know if you're like me or not, there are some times when I feel like God is very near, okay? There are other times when I feel like God is kind of far away. You ever feel like that? But guess what? It's feeling. And so he's still there. It's faith versus emotions, right? And so it's not how we feel, but it's what? It's what God's word says. I will never leave thee, what? Nor forsake thee. Is that true? God is there. And that should keep us from fear. And so God has said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, wonderful verse, it says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Wow. Isn't that amazing? The last part of this verse is wonderful. Being conscious of God's presence, he says what? I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so evidently Timothy felt the same, had the same problems. He had been fearful. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, "For God hath not given us," writing to Timothy, "but the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so Isaiah the prophet says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." And so in order to overcome fear in our life, we have to acknowledge something. What? God's here. God's with us. God's presence. And then we have to acknowledge his presence. We also have to trust in someone. Look at these words. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." The word dismayed means don't look alarmed or don't get upset. The same thing the Lord was telling the children of Israel is to be calm. Don't be afraid. Why? And I want to remind you of something that Isaiah was telling them during the time that they were in slavery. They were being abused. They were under much stress. But God was saying to them, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." You know, it's good to have good friends when we're in trouble. I've had good friends over the years. We just talked about some of them. But you know, many times you can be in trouble and your friends can't do you much good. You know, I can suffer a big financial reversal and owe a lot of money, and I can go to my friends, and maybe they don't have any money. They might not be able to help me, okay? They can sympathize with me, and they can put their arm around me, and they can do a lot of things for me and encourage me, but they can't actually solve the problem, okay? But guess what? God doesn't say, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy friend," right? He says what? "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Guess what? God's omnipotent. He can do anything. He's all powerful. What a wonderful thing that is. And so God wants us to trust him when we're afraid. He is trustworthy. He's never going to let you down. Reminds me of the story of these old folks were arguing about who was the most trustworthy, men or women. And one man said, "Men are more trustworthy. No woman can keep a secret." You probably heard that before. And one of the ladies says, "Oh, well, do you think that's true? All these years, I've been able to keep my age a secret." And the man says, "Well, someday you're going to let it out." And the woman said, "Don't hardly think so. When a woman's kept a secret for 75 years, she can keep it forever." But you know why? It doesn't matter if it's 50 years or 100 years. God, you can always trust him. He's never going to let you down. And if someone is going to overcome fear, we have to trust in someone. Then also we have to receive something. What is it we have to receive? Look at these words. "I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee." You know why God has to strengthen us? Because we're weak. We're frail. And you might look at people and say, "Man, they're big and tall and strong. They're not afraid of anything." But guess what, folks? Most people are. Have fears. Maybe no one else knows about. And so everyone can cite fears, times in their life when they were fearful. And there are grown men who had things happen to them as children that they're still afraid of today. You know, we call some of these unnatural fears, abnormal fears. We call them phobias, right? It's amazing what some people are afraid of. You know, some people are afraid of spiders. Some people are afraid of flying. Some people are afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid of all kinds and sorts of things. Some people are afraid of germs, you know. They can be afraid to touch door handles because they're afraid some germ might jump on them. And so it happens. Every day people live in fear. And as David says, "What time, though, I am afraid, what? I will trust in the Lord." Why? Because the Lord says, "I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee." And we have to receive his strength, because if we try to do it without him, guess what? We're just going to continue to fear. But with his strength, we can overcome our fears. And then if we're going to overcome our fears, we have to receive something. And then we have to understand something. Look at the verse one more time. It says, "Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You get that, the last part of the verse? Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. As we close, I've got to remind you that God requested his people of Israel to trust him while they were living in luxury, while they were living in ease. No, while they were living in bondage, while they were living in captivity, while they were living under stress, while they were living in a difficult time. In other words, there are difficult times in our lives, and if we are going to survive, it will be because of him, not because of us. Okay? And so before we close, let's look at one more verse of Scripture. It's interesting here. Look at verse 14 of chapter 41. I'll read it for you. It says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." Wow. "And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And so how do we overcome fear? In other words, you may think that you're something, but what does God call Jacob here? A worm. A worm. And so no more than a worm. You're created a nobody. And we are at the mercy. Think about this now. We're really, as individual humans, we're at the mercy of germs so small that we can't even see them, right? Has anybody seen a COVID germ with your naked eye? I don't think so, right? We're at the mercy of the elements. You ever been in a thunderstorm, lightning storm, hurricane? We're at the mercy of economic conditions. Who knows what the stock market is going to do this coming week, right? We have no idea. But you know what? Our only source of help comes from God and is a result of his mercy upon us. God is saying, "You're great only because I am your God and determine your greatness. So put your trust in me and be not afraid." Okay? God says, "Fear thou not, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You know, there's only one thing we're told to fear. You know what that is? God. Fear God, and you need not fear anything else. Fear not God, and you better fear everything else, right? And so what a wonderful truth that is. So I trust this has been a blessing to us tonight. Don't worry about it. Fear. God wants us to overcome fear. How many times in the Bible does the Bible say, "Fear not, fear not, fear not"? And what a wonderful thing that is. So thank you so much for your blessing to me, your goodness to me, your friendship with me. And I appreciate this opportunity tonight and appreciate all those who made this night possible. Thanks so much.
Father in heaven, thank you for the message we've heard tonight. Thank you for your word that we've been reminded of in coming from a man who's lived a fruitful life and who's been confronted throughout that fruitful life with a multitude of things that would cause great fear. And I pray, Father, we'll learn from what we've heard tonight. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.